Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come together in humility. We are thankful to you for creating in our hearts the desire to come unto you. We thank you for providing your only Son as our Redeemer. We know this is a gift above our understanding. But we know that since this gift is from you, it is above any other gift. We pray that you will bless this time in your word and bless the communion service afterwards. Lord, your word is true. We know that you are the one true God. We confess that we are helpless sinners who never had a chance without you. You called us, converted us, and brought us into fellowship with you. If you hadn't enabled us to do this, we would never have come. But we have come according to your calling. All glory belongs to you. We are your servants. Do to us as you will. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The title tonight's message is What is Holy Living? The theme verse for the message is 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Our God is holy. This means he is exalted and worthy of complete devotion. He is perfect in goodness and righteousness. He is set apart. He has called us to himself. We come to him only as a response to his calling. He has called us to be holy. We are to be holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation does not just mean talk, but our entire conduct. Tonight we will look at three questions. Who can live in a holy manner? Does it really matter how we live? How do we live in a holy manner? Who can live in a holy manner? I will read the first part of verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, it's the elect, those who are called. We believe in irresistible grace. We believe that if you are called, you come. It is not an option. The Lord calls you, and you must come. When the Lord has grace upon you, you cannot run from him. He is sovereign. We are subservient to him and will come to salvation. I'm going to read three verses in John chapter 6. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then John 6:39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And also John 6:65. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me, unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. The only people that are able to live in a holy manner are converted Christian believers. Believers can and do aim to live in a pattern of holiness and purity. But we always need to remember what Isaiah 64:6 says, that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Does it really matter how we live? Having just said that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, does it really matter how we live, seeing that no matter what, we will come up short? Also, seeing that the Lord views us as holy already through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are three points of view about this. Two are extremes, and one is a good common sense point of view. There are people that take the liberty we have in Christ to mean that they have to do practically nothing. They don't think it matters how they live. They are like Christian babes, but they intend to stay this way. The problem is, they can experience no Christian maturity. There are also people who put such a great emphasis on obedience that they spend all their time in bondage. They may be of the belief that we are still under the Mosaic law. Going under the law may sound like a good thing, but it causes people to think they are self-reliant and earning favor of God. We are not being disobedient by not going under the law. Christ died to set us free from the law. Acts 15 is a good chapter to read if you have any doubt about this. I will read Acts 15, 28 and 29. It says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well." So these necessary things are our starting point. But it shouldn't end there. Rather than take either extreme approach to Christian living, we should find our path in the middle. We shouldn't force Christ to shoulder the whole burden, neglecting the responsibility that is ours. Neither should we forsake the cross and live like there is no redemption from the law. Instead, we should live our life in a way that is based on love and devotion to the Lord. Love for the Lord and love for others. Our love for the Lord will affect our life. Our relationship with the Lord will affect how we live. And if we look at our life and are concerned with what we see, it is an indication that we need to renew our relationship with the Lord. How do we live in a holy manner? Because we are still living in sin, we cannot expect to live a holy life. Sin taints everything, even our best efforts. We will never be able in this life to say that we are holy or living a holy life. If we ever think that, it is proof that we are not holy. Instead, we will only be able to live a life of following after holiness, but never reaching it. If we are honest, we will never think that we are holy. We are commanded to be holy as God is holy. Yet we must admit that we will never be holy in this life. But we have Christ's holiness accounted to us to meet this command. Yet it is important to model our lives after holiness. Our lives cannot be holy, but they can reflect Christ's holiness. Just as a mirror isn't an exact image of the object in a mirror, we won't be an exact image of Christ's holiness. The fact that we aren't the exact image of Christ means we always have to rely on Christ's perfect holiness. Yet, we can clean our hearts, similar to how you would clean a mirror, to better reflect Christ. A clean mirror gives a closer picture of the object than a dirty mirror would. Now that our true holiness comes from Christ, how can we live holy? Holy living is primarily the result of a changed heart. What flows out of a renewed heart is a result of what is going on in our hearts. It would be better to have a changed heart and truly belong to the Lord with few outward signs than it would be to have an outward appearance of holiness which doesn't come from a renewed heart. The heart needs ongoing renewal and learning. We cannot stay stagnant. To do so is to lose ground. To live in a holy manner is highly dependent on the condition of our hearts. I have a number of scriptures to share, which are mainly to do with our hearts. The first one is Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We want to get used to waiting on the Lord for his leading and for him to work things out instead of trying to make things happen for him. We can have courage that he will take care of things. He is the one who strengthens our hearts, not ourselves. This verse is really saying, turn this trial over to the Lord, and he will handle it. He is the Lord. Next up is Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. Two things I have required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. We should desire eternal things rather than lies and vain things. And we should remember to accept what the Lord gives us rather than great wealth. He knows what we need even better than we do ourselves. Vanity, wealth, and lies will cause us to go astray. Matthew 6:19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Earthly treasures have a limited lifetime. They take our attention away from the Lord, thus becoming idols, and they corrupt us. It is better to treasure eternal things. Eternal things are things of the Lord, so they are of great value. Our heart will follow what we desire. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. We are just like young children who are dependent on all their needs being supplied for them. We need to be aware of idols. They come in many forms, and we must identify them and not let them take us away. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The only way we can live is by faith in God. The law won't justify us. The outward appearance is deceitful. It doesn't always indicate a change has taken place in our heart. Also, the greater emphasis is on faith, not on works. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our salvation is the work of God, not of us. The result of this work of God is faith in God, and good works come from this faith. Good works are defined by God, not by man. What looks like a good work to man may not be a good work to God. It must be for him for it to truly be a good work. Ephesians 4:1-2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Paul is a prisoner of the Lord, just like the rest of us. He brought us to himself in spite of our kicking and screaming. But he also changed our heart so that we would no longer want to resist him. The change he made to our heart made us no longer want to go on pleasing ourselves only, but to bring fruit to him. Our hearts have been brought into submission, humility, patience, and forgiveness of others. Corinthians 9 to 11. For this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We have to study so that we know the will of the Lord, so that we do his will. Godly wisdom and spiritual understanding should fill our hearts. His enormous strength is available to give us patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-23. Now we exhort you, brethren, Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we are told to do here are things to do with the heart, either our own heart or of the hearts of others. Be concerned with the unruly by warning them of their condition. Comfort, support, and be patient toward others. Don't return evil for evil, but return good for evil. Follow that which is good. Rejoicing, praying, and thanksgiving are God's will. Quench not the Spirit. Desire to know prophecy. Discern good from evil, and only hold on to the good. Don't engage in behavior which may look evil to another. Let God sanctify you. Let God preserve your spirit, soul, and body. Let God preserve us blameless unto the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Being godly and content in our circumstance is a great characteristic to have in our heart. Material things are not eternal. We neither brought anything into the world, nor will we take anything out of it. We should be thankful for those tools which are given to us for today and not hold on to them. They will be unnecessary in the future. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have this certainty that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. It was written through men, but it was not their own Word. It was the Word of God. The Word of God is highly profitable. All doctrine must come from the one true source, the Bible. The Bible is the one place we can go for reproof, correction, and instruction. We have to understand the meaning about our perfection. Our perfection lies in the future. It is already on the record, but it is yet future. The Bible directs us in the path of perfection and furnishing for good works. Hebrews 5:13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We once needed milk, but we progressed and became ready for strong meat. We are to have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. Why should we be able to discern good and evil? We want to remove evil out of the way and hold on to good. Hebrews 10:22 and 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Our sanctification comes from God. It is not originated in us. God will preserve us blameless unto the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to hold fast our profession of faith. We couldn't lose our faith, but we could waver. That is why we need to hold fast to keep from wavering. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ask God to give wisdom. We all need wisdom, but only godly wisdom. He will give plenty of wisdom to us if we ask for it. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Read and study and heed God's word. Don't neglect prophecy and be ready for the future. We will be blessed if we keep the word of God in our hearts. Holy living is something we would never seek without God putting it in our heart to do so. It is not in or of us, but of God. Our own works are unclean and displeasing to the Lord, no matter how good our intentions are. Because of the work of Christ, in God's sight, it is as if we have lived a holy life. The fact that God looks at us as if we have done holy works doesn't mean we shouldn't be living in a holy manner. Holy living requires us to address spiritual needs first. No one that hasn't bowed the knee to Christ has the desire or sees the need to live a holy life. People may live a seemingly good life, but if the heart isn't renewed, it is just an appearance. We must learn what holy living is. We get this information only from the Bible, No other source will teach us what pleases God. We can't expect to live in a holy way if we aren't getting our instruction from the Bible. We need to be reminded of what we believe and cautious about what we think about. Every action begins with a thought. An impure thought never results in a pure action. We must turn our thoughts away from the world so that we won't live after the world's pattern. Being a close companion of Christ will help overcome temptations. Knowing that God knows everything we do instantly and really realizing that God is there at all times will help drive the desire to sin farther from us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for teaching us that holy living is only possible through you. We cannot live a holy life on our own. As it is, we fall very short of the holiness you require. We are counted as holy only because of the holiness of Christ credited to us. Our own works are vile and evil, even our best attempts. Yet even so, we are being reformed into less vile sinners. This is your work and not our own. We pray for hearts that continue to serve you, and we see the world as we see the world getting farther and farther from you. Keep us on a path of coming closer to you. As the world is getting more resentful toward your people, let us continue with courage, knowing that you will protect us. We pray that as we return to our jobs and activities this week out in the world, that we would not be drawn by the world's way, but would be a shining light in a dark place. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.